Honorable Rauf Hakim, the floor is yours for 7 minutes.
Thank you, Honorable Deputy Speaker. මට පෙර කතා කරපු දොස්තර උපාලි පණිලගේ නියෝජ්‍ය මත්තුමා කතා කරද්දී අපගේ මේ මෑතකදී සිදු වුණු දිත්වා සුලිකුණාටුව පිළිබඳවත් ඒකේ වෙච්ච අලාභය මීට පෙර සිදු වුණු සුනාමි ලාභයට වඩා 3-4 දුණයකින් වැඩි කියන එකත් ඒ පිළිබඳව තමන්ගේ ආණ්ඩුව හරි ආකාරයට කටයුතු කරනවා පිළිබඳවත් නොයෙකුත් කතා මෙතන කියන්න පටන් ගත්තා. නමුත් ඇත්ත වශයෙන්ම එතුමා කියන පරිදි ආණ්ඩුවෙන් මිලියන 500ක් නෙවෙයි මිලියන බිලියන 700කට වඩා මේ පිළිබඳව මුදල් වෙන් කර තිබුණත් තාම ප්‍රගතියක් නැති තත්ත්වයක් තමයි අපි දකින්නේ. මම උදාහරණයක් ගන්නවා නම් මහනුවර දිස්ත්‍රික්කයේ අලාභයට පත් වුණු පාසල් අතරේ පාසල් 20 පාසල් වල ගොඩනැගිලි 57ක් විතර සෑහෙන ප්‍රශ්න වලට මුහුණ දෙන්න සිදු වුණා. ඒකෙන් පාසල් 25ක් වෙන තැන් වලට ගෙනියන්න තීරණය කර තිබුණා. නමුත් ඒ 25න් එකක්වත් තාම තීරණයක් කරන්න එතනම පාසල් පවත්වගෙන යනවා. මෑතකදී සිදු වෙච්ච වසහාපතනයෙන් ඒ ළමයින්ට ඉගෙනීම් කටයුතු ගෙනියන්නටත් ඉසාම අතීරු තත්ත්වයක් සිදු වෙලා තිබෙනවා. මේ පිළිබඳව මෑතකදී ජනාධිපතිතුමාත් පැමිණිලා මහනුවර දිස්ත්‍රික් කාර්යාලයේදී සාකච්ඡාවක් පැවැත්වුවා. ඒ සාකච්ඡාවේදී අපිට අර පුද්ගලික අලාභ පිළිබඳව තියෙන ගනුදෙනු පිළිබඳවයි කතා කරන්න සිදු වුණේ. ඒකෙත් මේ NBRI ආයතනයේ වාර්තා ලබා දීම තාමත් ප්‍රමාදයි. මාස 6ක් පහු වෙලා ඉවරයි. ඒ පිළිබඳව පෙරදිනේ විශ්වවිද්‍යාලයේ අනික භූවිද්‍යාංශයේ නිලධාරීන් එකතු වෙලා මේක කරනවා කියලා කිව්වට තාමත් කරලා නැහැ. ඒ වගේ මේකේ අර අකාර්යක්ෂමතාවය පිළිබඳව විශේෂයෙන්ම සුලිකුණාටුවෙන් පස්සේ ඇති වෙච්ච මේ ප්‍රශ්න පිළිබඳව පාසල් ගණනාවක් දැනට මම උදාහරණයට කියනවා නම් පරගල සිංහල විද්‍යාල ගම්පල කලාපය, අල් හික්මා විද්‍යාලය ආණ්ඩිය කඩවත්ත, බරණගල දෙමළ විද්‍යාලය ගම්පල කලාපය, ඒ වගේම කලෙමහල් දෙමළ විද්‍යාලයේ තෙල්දෙණිය කලාපය, නාමහල් දෙමළ විද්‍යාලයේ තෙල්දෙණිය කලාපය, අල්ලක්ෂා විද්‍යාලය දෙනුවර කලාපය, මේ පාසල් ඒ පවත්වන තැන්වලින් වෙන තැනකට ගෙනියන්න ඕනේ කියලා තීරණය කරත් කරගන්න බැරි තත්වයක් උදා වෙලා තියෙනවා. තාමත් ගොඩනැගිල්ලක්වත් හදන්න බැරි තත්වයක් උදා වෙලා තියෙනවා. මාස 6ක් ගිහිල්ලා ඉවරයි. ඒකයි අපි කියන්නේ මේ අකාර්යක්ෂමතාවය කියලා මේ ආණ්ඩුවේ. ඉතින් ඒ පිළ මෙච්චර අපි මුදල් වෙන් කරලා තිබුණත් විශාල ලෙස පරිත්‍යාග ලැබුණත් මේවා මේ කාර්යයට පාවිච්චි නොකරන තත්වයක් තියෙන එක බව අපි විවේචනය කළ යුතුව තිබෙනවා. ඉතින් අதே மாதிரி இன்னொரு விஷயத்தை நான் எங்களுடைய பிரதேசபானாயர் இடத்திலே சொல்ல வேண்டும். இன்று நெல் உற்பத்தியாளர்கள் சம்பந்தமாக குறிப்பாக விவசாயம் சம்பந்தமாக இங்கு கிங்ஸ் நெல்சன் புறநரூர் மாவட்டத்தை பிரச்சனையை எடுத்து சொன்னார். இதே பிரச்சனை அம்பாறை மாவட்டத்திலும் இருக்கிறது. அம்பாறை மாவட்டத்திலே சென்ற போகத்தில் விளைந்த நெல்லை கூட இன்னும் விற்க முடியாமல் வீடுகளிலே அவற்றை அடுக்கி வைத்திருக்க நிலைமைதான் ஏற்பட்டிருக்கிறது. ஒரு 80 ரூபாய்க்கு கூட தங்களுடைய நெல்லை ஒரு கிலோ விற்க முடியாத நிலைமை இந்த அம்பாறை மாவட்டத்தில் இருந்து கொண்டிருக்கிறது. அடுத்த போகம் ஆரம்பித்து விட்டது. எனவே ரெண்டு போகங்களுக்குரிய நெல்லை விற்பனை செய்கின்ற பாரிய பிரச்சனை, உரிய கொள்முதல் விலையை அடைய முடியாமல் விலை கூடும் என்ற எதிர்பார்ப்பில் இன்னும் விவசாயிகள் தவித்துக் கொண்டிருக்கிறார்கள். இதற்கிடையிலே தான் இந்த மானிய விலையில் வழங்குகின்ற உரம் சம்பந்தமான பிரச்சனை மிகப்பெரிய பிரச்சனையாக மாறி இருக்கிறது. உலக சந்தையிலே உரத்தினுடைய விலை கூடிவிட்டது என்பது நியாயம். ஆனால் அதை பெற்றுக் கொடுக்க வேண்டிய கடமை அரசாங்கத்துக்கு இருக்கிறது. அதை இன்னும் சரிவர செய்யாமல் இந்த சாதாரண சந்தையிலே 18,000-20,000 வரை இந்த யூரியா உரம் கொள்வனை செய்ய வேண்டிய நிலை இருந்தாலும் அரசாங்கம் மானியம் கொடுக்கின்ற விஷயம் அதிலும் ஒரு 50% தான் மானியம் கொடுக்க முடியும். அதுக்கு அப்பால் இவற்றை கொள்வனை செய்வதற்கு கூட சந்தையிலே உரத்தை பெற முடியாத நிலையில் விவசாயிகள் தவித்துக் கொண்டிருக்கிறார்கள். இதற்கான தீர்வை அரசாங்கம் பெற்றுத்தர வேண்டும். இன்று நாங்கள் விவாதிப்பதற்கு இருக்கின்ற விஷயம் மத்திய வங்கியின் அறிக்கையாக இருந்த போதிலும் கூட இசம்பந்தமாக ஒரு சில விஷயங்களை அவசியம் கருதி நான் இங்கு கூற வேண்டிய நிலைக்கு தள்ளப்பட்டிருக்கிறேன் என்பதை நான் சொல்லிக்கொள்ள விரும்புகிறேன். ஹானரபிள் டிப்யூட்டி ஸ்பீக்கர், யூ ஆல்சோ டெல்ட் வித் தி இன் யோர் ஸ்பீச் ஆஃப்டர் லாங் டைம் வி ஹர்ட் யூ ஸ்பீக் மிஸ்டர் டிப்யூட்டி ஸ்பீக்கர், once in a way, presiding officers must take their chance and also share your ideas with us. It's very good. But now the talking point today is the inordinate rise in the depreciation of the rupee against the dollar. Yesterday's paper also had a headline which I referred to, and there was a big commotion in the House. The Leader of the House didn't want to warn me, because when I was reading as a temporary chair of the Committee on Public Finance, I pointed out the issue relating to the central bank's difficulty in managing this fluctuation. Now, yesterday's headline is repeated again today. Rupee depreciation's double edge. And then there is a special article by Dr. Kenneth De Silva of the Global Business Cycle Economist. There he very clearly says one thing which I think is very useful for us to record it here. The need to have a careful way forward. He says the central bank faces a delicate balancing act. Defending the anchor requires reserves, but those are low and IMF targets prevent aggressive selling. IMF's conditions require that you cannot intervene in the foreign exchange market. For the first time we saw central bank purchasing about $10 to $12 million worth of dollar reserves from the market. That was after a very long time. But then they have now given it up. That is why now there cannot be an intervention. They can't print money. That also is bound by the new Central Bank Act. We have brought in new, we have given them independence. So the governor had made a very clear position regarding all this. Now, allowing depreciation without intervention expands money supply and credit, fueling inflation and thus warranting tightening cycle for shocks caused by depreciation due to external imbalances and the lack of USD cash flows. We call that in economic terms stagflation. It will bring down the, though when we try to control inflation, invariably tightening of monetary policies will result in growth being
retarded. Your time is up.
Yeah. Since because of this retardation of the growth, the government needs to take some immediate measures. And what happened in fuel imports? Within the first 3-4 months alone, $1.2 billion have been spent. That is almost two-thirds the cost of fuel imports for the entire year last year. So that is the extent to which this issue has impacted us. Therefore, some serious note has been taken. India has taken some preventive measures. Indian Prime Minister has announced work-from-home program for people to conserve fuel. But we had to take some drastic measures in order to meet these exigencies, Mr. Deputy Speaker. In the meantime, having increased the surcharge or duty on vehicle imports, just a day prior, some companies have been able to open LCs. How did that happen? That was a serious fraud. There is a serious corruption involved, is it? Is the issue. How can somebody open LCs for almost 5,000 vehicles just a day prior to the increase in duties for vehicle imports? And this is another issue which is, we spoke about the sugar imports and the way 25 rupees reduction 25 rupees was resulted in about 16 billion being earned by some businessmen. Similar corruption is happening even under this government. Therefore, that should be also looked into. Having said that, I conclude. Thank you.